My dad had an incredible gift for over 76 years of his ministry, communicating the profound truths of God's Word. In today's program, Dad displays to us how we are to carry the messages of the Bible into all the world. Stay with us for Dad's sermon, The Witness of the Gospel.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I just can't wait every week to get to come back and to visit with you. And I won't almost see you, but I can't see you. But I just got a feeling that we got brothers and sisters all over the world. And we've got people that are maybe in distress and maybe don't know Jesus. And they come to Jesus. They'll find him. They'll find that Jesus loves them. Jesus helps them. Oh, I'm just so thrilled when I get to come and have another hour, another time with you folks. And today we're going to talk about how we're witnesses of the gospel. And when we accept Jesus, we're a witness of the gospel. And so we have to be up and at it. But first of all, let me read some of the letters. We just love the letters. And I get some people, I got a letter the other day, and they like the letters better than the sermon. And I was disgusted about that. But so we're going to use some of these letters. The first one is from Chatsworth, Georgia. And they say, I live in a new senior apartment complex. It's a beautiful place in the mountains of North Georgia. Would I ever like to see that? North Georgia. Our manager wants us to have a service for an hour during the week. And I hope you won't mind me using the new song, a new song for a part of the worship service. God bless you. And we'll say, amen, you bet, use it. Now I'll tell you what the new song is. It's a little Bible study that we put out every month. And now for this month of July, we're talking about the perfections of Jesus, how he is perfect. And we use scripture. We got verses of scripture you can look up. And we have people in prison who get together and have these little Bible studies. Some of them retirement homes and some of the churches in their Sunday school, they use it. And that's just fine. Use it all you want. And it's a new song. And I'll give you the address at the end of the service. So get your pencil and paper and I'll give it then. Here's Hyde Park, New York. God bless you every day. Keep on keeping on. I pray for the rapture every day. I pray everyone is ready to meet Jesus. You are my fire preacher for Jesus Christ. What a blessing you are to all of us. Love ya. So here, this is pretty nice. She writes on that fire. I'm her fire preacher. Boy, that, you know, makes me remember, think of a story. They had a preacher in a hospital, and that was a student nurse, and they told the student nurse to go and get his temperature. And so instead of the thermometer, she made a mistake and she got the barometer. And she went and checked and she came back and says with the report, it says he's dry and windy. Well, I'm telling you, sometimes I may be dry and windy. But look at here. She says I'm fiery. So I'm a triple threat. I'm fire and windy and got fire. And just beautiful thing. So just thank you for that letter. Just stay with us. We don't know what's going to happen here. Here's Sioux City, Iowa. We are going to pass your DVD around to our family members, 5 children and 9 grandchildren in 5 states, then to many people in and around our area who either can't get out to church or are not getting the preaching where or when they do go to church. And so there they talk about a DVD, and I'll tell you what it is. It's a new DVD they just put out, and it's called The Heart of a Shepherd. Heart of a Shepherd. It's an hour in length. And in this program, in this service, we tell people how to be saved. We explain it very clearly. And we have people who watch this film who pray to receive Jesus. And so you can take your friends and have them come in, or you can give them to your friends. And sometimes it's hard to talk to them about the Lord, especially relatives. And so have them look at this film, and they will present the gospel as clear as a bell so the children can understand. And so you get your pencil and paper ready. We set it on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have any money, like if you're in prison or something like that, we set it free. And then somebody else will help us. And it's called Heart of a Shepherd. Just put on shepherd. Here is Hartford, South Dakota. I took your advice, and my husband and I now go to church on Sunday. And so, yes, that's my advice. you know, the church is instituted by God, and we ought to support the church. And so go to, if you possibly can, you go to a church and find out where they're preaching the gospel. And then here's Germantown, Tennessee. I watch a program every Saturday. I really enjoy hearing the true gospel. No watering down or cotton candy preaching is coming out of your pulpit. I like hearing your old-time preaching. You tell the truth and don't hold back the word. I appreciate hearing the real word of God. Well, I'm telling you, at 97, you're going to get old-time preaching. That's for dead sure. This person writes, I can't remember if it's a man or a lady, they're watering down, they're cutting back a little bit. You know what that's what God says. He says in 1 Timothy, he says, preach the word in season and out of season. And then he says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And so when we preach the wonderful gospel, we're telling you, we're preaching the gospel, we're preaching the word of God. We preach it just the way St. Paul preached it. We preach it just the way Jesus taught it and the way God gave it to us in the Old Testament by holy men of God, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And with that, we preach the Bible, the Word of God, the eternal Word of God. And then one more letter you want to give is London, England. And they pre-ordered Heart of a Shepherd DV. And so here it is, way off in London, and they're asking for this film. And this is a pre-order. The film is all done now, and we can send it out. And you can download it if you want to on a Christian Worship Hour. And while you're downloading, if you want to, you can give us a gift or you can send us a note. We just like that very much. So we're just so thankful for all who've written. And also I should mention this, that we put out a little Bible study. It's the new song, and it's got the perfections of Jesus of this month. I think I mentioned that. So get your pencil and paper ready, and we'll talk about that at the close of the service. But here's the message we want to give today, and it's called The Witnesses for Christ, The Witness for the Lord. And the gospel tells us we're to preach that wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you say, well, what is the gospel? Really, what is the gospel anyway? Well, the gospel is given to us, is spelled out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses, the first opening verses. And this is what God tells us. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. That's Paul writing by the power of the Holy Spirit. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached you, which ye also have received and wherein ye stand, by which ye are also saved, if ye keep in memory the what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For we delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how the Christ here, now here's the gospel, how the Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So there's the gospel, just in a nutshell, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose the third day. That's the gospel. And Jesus tells us that before he ascended back into heaven, he said we are to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's exactly what we're doing as a Christian Worship Hour. We're trying to get in, and we're trying to have places all over the world where we're preaching the Bible, the wonderful Word of God. The witness has to be, and so I want you to take a look at this. The witness has to be a person. People say, well, why can't an angel do it? Now, angels are messengers from God. And so they're at the throne of God, and he sends messages, like he sent Gabriel to Mary to take a message, sent one to St. Paul and tell him that he's going to be in prison, but not to worry. And so the messengers do that. But when it comes to preaching salvation, preaching the gospel, angels cannot do it. And they cannot do it simply because they have never been saved. They don't know what it's like to be redeemed. You see, you and I know what it's like to have a burden of sin. And we think of some of our sins, especially at night, or if we have some trouble or trial, and those sins loom up before us. And what can we do about our sins? Well, I'll work and I'll get them paid for. But God says, and not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, it's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, see? And so angels don't have that experience. They've never sinned. They're perfect. They're sinless. And they're at the throne of God. And so they can't go and give that message anymore. They can take other messages, but they can't preach the gospel. And so God tells us that we're to do that. And then he gives us an illustration. And the illustration is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the Bible tells us in John 5, verse 35, he was a burning and a shining light. And in Matthew 11, 9, he says he's more than just a prophet. And Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 11, he said of John the Baptist, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater prophet than John the Baptist." And so the point simply is this. John the Baptist, the angels couldn't do it. John the Baptist had to come and be that witness and preach that gospel and witness of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so he came, and he was a human being. And that's what you and I are. If we're still here in the flesh, we're a human being. And we are all to be witnesses. If we have received Jesus in our life, we are to tell others. And I know people say, "Well, I've never been to seminary. I don't know the Bible very good. I don't know what to say." Well, you just tell them what Jesus did for you. He took away your sins and he gave you peace. And he's with you always. And you can go to him and talk to him and pray any minute you want to. It's just wonderful. And anyone can be a witness. And the witnesses have to be faithful unto the death. One of the assignments John was given to go to King Herod and to preach the gospel. And also he was to tell him of a sin that he was having. And so he was to be faithful and do that. And he was faithful, but it cost him. As I'm going to just tell you now exactly what happened. He went to the Herod, and Herod was guilty of a very grave offense. He was both to the laws of man and of God. He was living in an adulterous relationship with his own brother Philip's wife, Herodias. And because of the high position of Herod, he was the king. Everybody was scared to tell him and tell him he was doing wrong and he was sinning. So they just kept quiet. Everybody except John the Baptist. John the Baptist stood tall and straight and before the monarch. He looked him squarely in the eye, and he said, with a thunder in his voice, he pointed his finger at him. He said, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." And wow, did that hit a chord with old John, with Herod. And he was angry. You see, the Bible says that Herod kind of liked to hear John preach, but he didn't want him to preach anything that would hit him. As long as John preached repentance in a broad, general way, while it didn't really get to Herod, as long as John preached through the entire group, and there's a whole mob of people gathered there, well, then Herod, he wasn't talking to him here, talking to somebody else. As long as John preached forgiveness of sins as a manner that would apply to just everybody and anybody, he listened and he halfway liked the sermon. But when John the Baptist came and pointed his finger at him and made it too plain and too personal and told him explicitly, definitely, that it is wrong for you to have your Philip's wife, and it is a sin against God. Oh boy, was the fire, and there was a fat in the fire. Herod's indignation was stirred. His anger was fierce, and he was so mad, he threw John the Baptist in prison, put him in jail, a prison, a kind of a pit, a stinking place, and that's where he put him. And then sometimes later, in order to satisfy the hatred of a woman scorned, Herod tells Herodias, he is so pleased with her, he says, "I'll give you anything you want, you name it." And Herodias went to her mother and says, "Mother, what should I ask? He'll give me anything I want." And good old mother, she says, "Tell him you want John the Baptist's head on a platter." And that's exactly what she told him. And Herod was sick to the stomach, but he'd given his word, and Herod and John was beheaded. And he was beheaded because he challenged a man in his sin, and he didn't like it. Well, guess what? The world hasn't changed a bit. They're just like old Herod right today. They want preaching. They want, part of them wants to know a little about God. They want preaching, but not like John the Baptist. They don't want that kind of preaching. If you preach like John the Baptist, you put the finger on their sin, you look them in the eye, and you tell them you'll get your head cut off. You think, oh no, that wouldn't happen, would it? Look at the persecuted church. Why are they being persecuted? Why are they putting to death? Here's five fathers kneeling down in the sand. And every one of them says, Jesus is Lord. And every one of them was beheaded. Why were they beheaded? Because they told these people, it is wrong for you to live in your sin. You're worshiping the wrong God and the wrong prophets and all. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is Lord and nobody else. And they died for it. The world is just the same. They want a church that where a pastor is so loving, where he's so kind, and they want a church and a pastor where there's no boundaries and no sacrifice and no self-denial and no commitment and no total abstinence from anything, no born-again stuff, no surrender, no suffering, no hell, no blood, nothing like that. They want to just be free and fancy free. And don't you cross my steps or you'll be in trouble. That's what Herod wanted, a watered-down sermon. He wanted a sermon that didn't cross his lifestyle, a sermon that made him feel good about himself. Oh, feel so good, even if he lived like a skunk. They wanted to make him so nice and smell so good. A sermon that made no demands, that built up his ego. But when John preached about sin and holiness and living, brother, church was over for John. The world demands the same thing that Herod did. They want you to preach what they want you to preach so that they feel good. They want you to preach something that helps their ego. They don't want to say where you do total abstinence on certain things or whether you'd be willing to give your life for Christ or even live for the Lord. Let me say, and if you do, and when you preach something like that, they say, oh, that's hate preach. That's preaching, that's hate speech. And you know, some places you can be put in jail, in some countries you can be put in jail for hate speech. And so when you say something about hate speech, well, they'll say, then they're done with you. They're out the window. And let me say a word about hate speech. It is really love speech, love speech. I call it love speech because it'll save your precious soul from hell. I say it's hate preach when you just pass it all over and you make it look so nice and you just let them think they can live like the dogs, that they can be rowing the boat. They're looking toward heaven and rowing toward hell. That's the way they're living. And when you correct their ways, they don't take kindly to it. Here's a man. He goes to the doctor and the doctor checks him and he finds out the man has cancer. And he tells that man, you are in just wonderful health. You're just a wonderful man. You just can live. Oh, you're just top of the line. God bless you. Ho, ho, ho. That's love speech. See, that's really hate speech. Because when he goes to the next doctor and the doctor says, you got cancer and you need treatments or you're going to die. They say that's hate speech to say something like that to a man. That's love speech. You're saving his body. And in the things of the realm, we're saving the soul. And that's what John the Baptist is telling us. You be faithful even if it costs your head. It cost his head. It cost Paul's head. It cost every disciple, every apostle died a violent death, except maybe John. And today we pray every Sunday, every week we pray for a new people that are in the persecuted church, a new territory, a new country. We're going to pray for Bangladesh today and as we close. And so it's going to cost, but you have to be faithful. And then a witness has to put Christ first. John took a subordinate place. He rejoiced because of Jesus Christ. And he said when he saw Jesus, you remember he pointed his finger at Jesus and he said, at the Jordan River, And he pointed his finger and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And John had multitudes of people following him. And he's saying now to all that, all his whole congregation, to all of his people, don't listen to me, listen to Jesus. And this is the way John said, he, Jesus, must increase, I must decrease. John was saying, as Paul said later, Christ may be magnified in my body, whether by life or by gain, or by death. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And what Jesus is telling us, what God is telling us, he must increase, Jesus must increase. That is in our life. He needs to be first. We need to love him and trust him. And we need to put him, give him first place. To decrease means to be less taken up with ourselves and occupied with ourselves. And don't just live for yourself, but live for others and live for Jesus Christ. You cannot do both at the same time. And so we have to be like this John the Baptist. He said, this Jesus, this is the wonderful Jesus, and he's got to grow, and you've got to give him now your priority, and you've got to listen to him. Don't listen to me anymore. It's hard for a man, pastor, to give up his congregation. It's not an easy thing, but that's what he was doing. And that's what we have to do. We have to put Jesus first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if you want to be a witness for the Lord and a good word, Lord, you put him first. And I think all the time, I think so much of the time of the persecuted church. And here they are today while we're having this service. Some are going to give their lives. Some are going to be desecrated in so many ways. Little children are going to be made orphans. And it's a tough way to go if you want to be a witness. But you got to be witness in giving God everything. And so Jesus tells us, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. That's what he wants. He wants all of us. And there's joy in that, great joy in that. But I want to insist on this. Be sure you use the word of God. That's why we preach. I know you all that we get all the scripture we can into it. And I quote the scripture reference for you. And when you get the new song, our little Bible study, it's all filled with scriptures where these things are found. And so that when we go out, we take the word of God. Because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of spirit and soul, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That wonderful word, what are we doing? All right, I'm going to preach here. I'm going to give you a verse. He that believeth on the Son, this is what Jesus said, John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now that's the word of God. Now you know what happened? The Holy Spirit took that word of God and it took it all over the world. All over the world. Time and space doesn't mean a thing to the Spirit of God. And he takes that holy word and he puts it in the heart of people and they say, oh, I haven't received Jesus. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I'll fellowship with him. And I just feel now that Holy Spirit, that I'm not doing it. A parrot could do what I'm doing. But it's the Holy Spirit of God with the power, who's the second, third person of the Trinity. And he takes the holy word of God that is abideth forever. And then he takes it, and now he's right at your house. He's at your heart. And for some reason, you never felt that way before. But you feel, I really want Jesus. I want to have Jesus in my heart. I want to have him take away my sins. I want to be there. I want him so I can talk to him. And I want him so that he'll help me through life. And I'm not saying he's going to make you rich. We have these people, if you do the right thing, you get rich. That's not in the Bible, Buster. You just may have to, why? Well, look at Jesus. How rich was he when he walked among men, didn't have a place to lay his head? And the disciples and the followers and the persecuted church have the same thing. They're not going to get rich and they never will get rich. And maybe that's a good thing. And so, but you say, I'll just walk with you and I'll help you all through life and I'll help you live through it. Like the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in the fiery furnace, but when they looked, Nebuchadnezzar looked in, there was four. Jesus was with them, and he'll be with you. And so you pray, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. I'm sorry for my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you did that, you write to us. You write to the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I'm just praying that you'll write to us, or you can get us on the Christian on our internet, and you can get all this information. You get sermons and all on that, and you can send a gift on it, ChristianWorshipHour.com, anywhere in the world, and then you write to us, and we'll pray for you. And one thing we want to tell you about is this little paper, our Christian Worship Hour, that we're telling us about the new song. And I know you'll love it and you'll like it. So now we're going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the multitudes that are coming to you right now, being born again. Now they're your children. They're part of your kingdom. Pray for those on beds of sickness. Pray for the lonely. Pray for the elderly that don't have visitors and don't know which way to turn. Pray for those who are going through hard times. Pray for the young people, Lord. As they face things, and those beautiful, beautiful children, pray for them. Oh, God, we just pray that your will might be done in every heart and every life, and that we'll all gather together someday when we gather in that other land. Thank you. And the people at Bangladesh, Lord, bless and help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we want to thank you all for writing now. I'm going to give it again, especially for those on the shortwave radio, Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, and you can get us also on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And so until next week now, you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And wouldn't it be something if Jesus would come this week? He's going to come one of these weeks, might not this week. But whether he comes or not, we're going to keep on preaching for people to come to Jesus. And you're preachers too, in one way or another. You're witnesses. We're all witnesses, witnesses of the Son of God. And when it comes to them, the Holy Spirit will just take your word and bring people to Jesus. So we're praying you have a good week. And we're praying that next week we'll all gather together. Don't forget, God loves you, and the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And I know I love you, so what more can you get? God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.